Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to episode 39 of the Flight Test Podcast. Today we're talking about getting along at the flying field. A story that we hear often is people either don't go to their local flying field or don't go to their local RC event just because they don't know what to expect regarding protocols and just general rules at the event. So we try to pull back the curtain on that a little bit. If you're a pro at attending events or if you have your own home flying field, you can kind of listen to this podcast, or at least the main portion, through the lens of what it feels like to be someone that hasn't gone to a field before. So if you see somebody new at your field, pulling them aside, letting them know about different protocols and procedures that might be special to your field, I know that if I was new to a flying field, I would really appreciate that. I also want to let you guys know that we have special Flight Fest. We have special Flight Fest t-shirts in the Flight Test store. So if you go to store.flighttest.com, we have some special Flight Fest shirts that we put together that we sold at the event. And so if you'd like to pick up one of those, if you attended the event and didn't get a chance to pick one up, or if you would just like a special memento from the very first Flight Fest, while supplies last, we do have most sizes up there right now. So feel free to go up there and grab one of those while they're still available. All right, thanks for listening and enjoy.
Totally subpar. All right. How's your coffee there?
It's delicious. Thank
you.
That's
good. Okay.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Flight Test Podcast. I'm Austin Fury.
I'm Josh Bixler.
I'm Brian Doten.
The camera guy.
And the camera guy.
I'm not the camera guy, but I'm Alex.
Hi, Alex.
Yeah, you started that weird. It's like, I'm the camera guy.
Actually, I was the camera guy at one
he
point.
You was.
Yeah. And sometimes I still am.
I think everyone here, except for Josh, has been the camera guy.
No, Josh has been a camera guy.
I've been a camera guy.
I take that back.
When? The GR Indoor Horizon episode.
Self-appointed.
Self-appointed.
You picked up the camera and put it on the wrong shoulder.
I took action, yes. Yeah, it was like the equivalent of when someone goes to skeet shoot for the first time and they aim with the wrong eyeball.
So. What's important is that you saw what needed to be done.
I did. And it was fun. I think you guys got like 5 seconds of usable footage out of that.
Yeah.
You learned
a lot, though.
I did. I learned that I should treat Brian and Dave very nicely so they never leave us. Hi, Brian. It's nice to have you in here. Please talk a lot because you got a lot of good stories.
So, Brian, what's a typical day look like for you at Flight Test?
Do I have to be completely honest?
No. Actually, probably be best if you embellish.
Yeah, actually, our HR people should stop listening at this point.
Yeah.
No.
Give us like 2 minutes.
Okay. Yeah. No, it's very fun. There's great coffee here. Usually come in and make a cup of joe.
Speaking of coffee, Eric Frickle.
Yes.
He heard about first off, the fact that we had a Keurig, also a Keurig problem.
He was embarrassed for
the
us.
The K-Cups.
Yeah.
And he emailed me, and he's just like, look, I really feel bad for you guys, because we were drinking crappy coffee, which apparently, I didn't really know that Keurig was not really acceptable coffee.
We know now. Yeah.
Our Keurig broke also.
Yeah.
My Keurig, more specifically.
but also our Keurig in a way.
Yeah. It was kind of adopted by the Flight Test family, and I had to make pot coffee. And now the worst thing is my Keurig is broken. I have awesome coffee at work, and I have horrible coffee at home with a $10 coffee maker. So I'm not complaining or anything.
to be fair, you spend most of your time here anyway.
That's true.
You may as well have good coffee.
So back, Eric, thank you so much.
Thanks, man.
A grinder and instructions and an awesome coffee maker, and we use it like crazy.
And sent us awesome coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah, which we burned through that bag pretty quick, and we've gotten many bags since then.
We go through 5 gallon bottles of water just making coffee alone.
That's true.
So thanks again. Anyway, sorry, Brian.
Yeah.
Your day starts off. Actually, speaking of coffee, while Brian tells a story about his day, I'm going to go grab some coffee.
Okay. Can you bring me a cup?
How many?
I got one.
Just one?
Yeah. Actually,
I'm good.
I don't know how much there is. I'd say top me off, but don't worry about it.
Okay.
All right.
See you back.
Bye.
This is really unprofessional, but it's also very necessary because we just came off of an amazing yesterday doing a community event. But Brian, first we need to talk about your day.
Okay. My day. So I show up. I usually grab coffee.
Coffee's a good subject right now.
Oh yeah, so that guy.
Carry on.
Sorry, I'm feeling other people getting annoyed.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
So, coffee. There's usually little snacks and treats around because I usually don't eat breakfast.
Yeah.
So I'll come in and I'll scrounge for whatever's left over from an event or whatever.
Yeah.
So right now it's Brian's day is mostly food related.
Yeah,
it's pretzels, lots of pretzels
and Cracker Jacks and Yeah. So then I usually look for one of the guys and I say, hey, what am I supposed to do today? And it's like, oh, it's that one episode with the thing. And I'm like, okay. And I sit down and I get to work and start cutting it together.
And then he works till about 11:30, 12:30, so maybe 2 in the morning.
Yeah. Well, it depends on what episode. Yeah. Usually, like for the recap video that just came out, those usually take like 5 days to edit, it preferably. And I had to do it in like 1.5.
We wanted to expedite it. Usually recap videos go out about 2 weeks to 3 weeks afterwards.
Yeah, and, but we were already kind of behind, and it just would have been more and more irrelevant the later it got. So,
you really were awesome.
Thank you.
No other way. Brian, I guess this is where HR, he slept in my office.
Yeah.
I have my office is getting more busy. I had an extra couch at my house that I wasn't willing to throw away, so I put it in my office, and right now it's my desk. That's seriously.
Thank you.
That's all you have.
Oh my! That's I got
5 ounces of coffee and a huge. I mean, at least put it in a tiny little cup so it feels like it's a fancy coffee. Let me see yours. How much?
Same.
No, you got more than me. All right, hold on.
I was gonna end horribly.
All right, that's good. I don't want to be greedy.
There we go. Thank you. Now it's all over the
table. I'm really sorry about that.
Austin drank it all. That's why he didn't want it topped off, because he knew he was guilty.
All right. So we all have even amounts of coffee.
I probably have less than you guys at this point because I drank it all.
Okay, back. Oh. Yeah. It's not about coffee. It's about Brian right now.
It is about me.
It's about me.
It's about him. But you stayed up and you crashed on the couch.
I worked from when did I get here? I worked till about midnight. Passed out, woke up at 6, and then worked from 6 to 5, I think it was.
And you did a great job, episode, man. Thank you so much. It's
no problem.
If you liked the Flight Fest recap, you can thank Brian.
Yeah.
And we should thank him, too, because that was a kind of an unreasonable request to have him edit the whole event recap in, like, 2 days.
Yeah. Thanks, Brian.
Yeah, it was amazing. No problem. And guys, once again, thank you so much. Going back, looking at the footage, it was really, we're still touched. I mean, we're still affected by Flight Fest, and we can't wait for Flight Fest 2015. Yeah.
I as well, and I think I went there and enough people were still interested in me and what I did. I figured they would just be gravitating towards you guys because, you know, you're the on-screen guys, so you're awesome and they want to see you and talk to you, but people were still equally excited to talk to Dave and I just thought that was awesome.
It just goes to show this is a family. It's not all about hosts and who the people are. It's the Flight Test family. And the now thing is, I think Crafty Dan coined it best is, I think he said, we are Flight Test, and that's a really good way to say it. Not we are Flight Test, but the community. The identity of Flight Test is the community. We are nothing more than servants at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's pretty humbling and awesome. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I like you, Brian.
Thanks. I like you guys, too. You're not bad.
Everything is awesome.
Group hug. Hold on. All right, so that is Brian. Brian and Dave are amazing. I can't say enough good things about them. Their dedication to work crazy weird hours to make things happen because we're still finding our stride here. Mm-hmm. And either have lots of content and not much time to edit, or very little content, and we're doing things last minute. So,
And Dave reminds us of this constantly, but putting out 2 really high quality polished episodes a week is actually pretty nuts.
Yeah, especially not necessarily for us, but for Brian and Dave.
Yeah. Well, you know, for the people that have to deal with it. So he reminds us constantly that this is absolutely crazy, and that so we have to give them credit because. I mean, it really is. I mean, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of hours, and Brian and Dave pull it off regularly.
So. I don't know how they don't go cross-eyed looking at the screen all day.
I think he made some kind of equation, like for every minute of edited content, it's at least an hour or something like that.
Yeah, and again, it depends on what it is, you know. If it's just a review, it's different. Like the recaps take forever. The build videos are usually like an hour long.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But well, this is it's still fun. No matter what it is, it's still fun.
And now, Brian, you don't fly RC, right?
No, I do not. No,
which is interesting. Neither does Dave. And I bet if I had to guess, they're the most knowledgeable non-pilot about RC.
Yeah.
Actually, I got a glimpse of you over. We'll go into talking about the community event in a second here, but I got a glimpse of you on the simulator, man.
Oh yeah.
Are you getting the bug?
A little bit.
Oh yeah. Can he build you?
It's not that I'm not interested. I just
don't have time because
I'm always editing.
Yeah. or filming.
Yeah.
We got to make time for our friend Brian and Dave. Yeah. So
it's not that you're disinterested. You're just busy.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, very cool. So that's a day in the life of Brian Doten. So am I allowed to mention your last name?
It's okay. Well, I've already changed it once, so it's okay.
Okay.
Just say, well, if you're editing this anyway, so you can just cut it out.
And it's on the website.
Yeah.
And his phone number is...
Oh, we should also give him email and where he lives.
Social.
Yeah. No. Okay, very cool. So that's Brian. Where are we on to next?
Well, today we're talking about flying field etiquette, because a common thing that I heard at Flight Fest was... I came out to the event, however, I didn't bring anything with me because I was too nervous about flying in an event.
Yeah.
And so I think that, and also there's a nice thread in the forums of, constructive criticism of the event.
Yeah.
And I think that one of the main constructive criticisms of the event was that there was a lot of confusion for people that were brave enough to go out and fly on the beginner line. Of just, not being at an event before. There's some. Mm-hmm.
Also FPV and just the different flight lines and how to go about it.
That's a good point. We should really kind of tackle, because every type of flight line actually carries a somewhat of a different type of etiquette.
Yeah.
If you're on the main, let's just pick on probably the most common, which would be the main flight line. First of all, friends, one really good important thing is that there's AMA sanctioned, there should always be a pilot meeting every morning. If you can get to where you are involved in a pilot meeting, usually they're, 9, 10 o'clock in the morning, that is really good, because they oftentimes will give special instructions, special details about that day's flying, also let you know about scheduled events, when you're going to be needing to land, also pattern changes. So try to always make it to a pilot meeting if you can. If you can't, they usually have field marshals. And this is kind of where flight test was a little bit different. We had an amazing army of volunteers that were all very knowledgeable, because Fred Provost was really great about scouting with them, and they were great communicators. That's not always the norm, but there's usually always a field marshal, someone that's in charge of the flight line. Their job is to answer your questions. So rather than being intimidated and not flying, go up and pick their ear and have them regurgitate, the ins and outs. They'd much rather tell you the information than yell at you. And hats off to the volunteers. Once again, they're great communicators, but don't leave your plane at home. If anything, if you're not sure if you're going to fly, just pick the plane that you're most comfortable with, bring it with you. And then, if you feel comfortable or the bug bites, you can take it out and fly and register as a pilot. So main flight lines, you want to pick on that first?
Yeah, typically the first thing that came to my mind was Flight Fest was a little bit unique.
Yeah.
I think we mentioned it in the recap that there was more foam than ever before seen at any event, especially foam board.
Yeah.
Typically like a Joe Nall and the big fly-ins, the main flight line is pretty hectic. A lot of times you'll see the higher end models flying at the main event line.
It's the most controlled flight line too, where you have to really abide by the rules the most.
Yeah, and that was a little bit different at Flight Fest, just because of the type of people that were attending. It was an event that was geared more towards beginners. So it's a little bit more laid back at Flight Fest, but something to keep in mind when you're at other events is that the main flight line is like the real deal. People are flying their babies up there. They're pristine balsa built up planes.
You got
and stuff.
Mark Sturmers that have their B-17s.
Yeah, huge built up planes.
Yeah,
a lot of time and effort into them. So you gotta know the rules and kind of pay attention to them and communicate. It's not necessarily rules, but basically common practice on a flight line, like a main flight line, like a Joe Nall or something, is. Communication.
Yeah, announcing your intentions, taking off, landing.
Landing downwind, low pass.
Yep.
And these rules don't necessarily just apply to events, because events are a pretty, for just your average RC flyer, an event is a pretty rare occasion, maybe once a year, something like that. But this also applies for most flying fields.
Just in general, flying with a group of people. Actually, last night we were flying at Josh's house. There was probably 30 people there, 20 people, something like that.
Yeah.
And you don't want to crash into somebody. No. So just, if you're coming in for a landing and you're looking downwind and the runway's to, the other way, just call it out. Say, hey, landing, everybody, pay attention.
And it's also good practice, too, because usually the most exciting stuff happens at landing. So you want to let people enjoy the crash or the, the fun that happens when you actually do attempt something like that. So
it sounds like the first thing is it's good to be very vocal while you're flying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let people know taking off. Make sure you're yelling when you're on the field. Mm-hmm. Yell clear the field, yell landing. Also, yelling dead stick or lost control is good, because not only does it notify people that you don't have control of your airplane, but it also can help people help you identify your plane where it went down.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because sometimes, you know, it's easy to get disoriented.
Which, speaking of which, too, flying with a spotter.
Yeah.
You always want to have a spotter.
Yeah, spotters are good. They protect your investment, but also keeping safe. You know, and the more you fly, with people, the more people up in the air, the more need you have for a spotter. You know, two people, obviously, it's no big deal. But especially at Flight Fest and stuff like that, when you had such a large amount of people up in the air one time, spotters were really useful. And it's funny enough, Flight Fest is kind of the exception, not the rule, because
it's a unique event, and not to say it's a bad thing, because it was awesome.
It was, as far as safety goes, it ran smoother with less crashes and less injuries for being the size it did than any other event we've been at, which is really great. But that was also because we had a line specifically for beginners, and there are people there. One thing I would definitely not recommend if you're a beginner and you have the main flight line, unless there's an allocated time for beginners, you don't want to be test flying your airplane. Matter of fact, AMA frowns on test flying. Once again, we're kind of the exception, because we encourage people to build and fly.
Yeah.
But we had people there able to inspect their planes, help them out there.
Planes are also 2 pounds or less, 2 pounds at the max, typically.
Yeah.
There were some exceptions there, but generally you don't want to go out and finish building and then test fly a 15-pound airplane.
Correct.
At an event, so...
Yeah.
And also, for most people listening to this podcast, I would say probably about 1% of our audience will ever be able to make it to any given Flight Fest. So this is definitely a very general podcast of what to generally expect at a flying field or at an event. Of course, Flight Fest is what spurred the topic.
Yeah.
But this is very general for people all over the world, really.
I'll try to keep that in mind, too. One other thing, too, is there's oftentimes two lines. You have your main flight line, but there's also a spectator line, and you have pilot stations. So we'll just talk about main flight lines, but this would go with any flight line. You'll have a line where if you're not a pilot, you don't pass it. And then there's usually a 15, 20-foot buffer between that line and then your actual station and your flight line. The flight line, the only time you cross your flight line is when you're retrieving your airplane, picking up an airplane, and you always announce, once you cross that line, you're always announcing the intentions that you're crossing that line.
And also, as a general rule, you want to spend as little time as possible out there.
You want to hustle. Mm-hmm. You want to go out there with purpose. You don't want your kids frolicking, in the flight line.
Yeah, and if some people maybe don't know or just don't know any better, and they're out on the field and they didn't call it, and you see it, call it out for them.
Yeah.
You know,
person on the field.
Yeah, person on the field, something like that, just to try to keep everybody safe. Because not everybody, especially Flight Fest, it was a lot of people's first event. So. Yeah.
And boy, you guys did fantastic at that.
And every single pilot on the flight line has both their eyes one place, and that's on their airplane.
Yeah.
So they don't necessarily know you're out there. So if somebody was getting ready to do a little pass or something, they now know to keep it above 50 feet or whatever keep flying the pattern.
Second someone walks on the field, that's when low buzzes, landings and stuff, unless it's an emergency, all go away. And, you keep it high. And that way, if you do have any emergencies, you give the most time for people to get off the field, which is real important. And also, all these rules apply even in general flying. If you're flying, like we'll talk about the venue we did yesterday, but these practices are key. Knowing your playground, knowing your area, and then announce intentions. If people cross over, like we had yesterday a couple times, Alex, you were flying, people were oblivious to the fact that was a roped off area, and where, people on the field go high and you go high, and that's the safest thing you can do, because you can't run out there and get them off quicker.
Yeah.
You just got to evade them. And that worked out really well.
Yeah.
So another kind of, we might have mentioned this, I'm not sure, but another kind of basic tip is flying the pattern.
Yeah, flying the pattern. You always take off going into the wind. Pattern is nothing more than a long oval, pretty much, or a long box pattern, where you are you're flying past yourself and then taking left or right hand turn. That's usually established on which direction the wind is going. Obviously, the pattern is always going to go away from the flight line. So if the wind changes 180 degrees, or if it's total crosswind, then it's up to the field marshal to dictate which way the pattern is. Generally, also in pattern flying too, is when you're going to do your maneuver, you don't do your maneuver on one of the turns, you do it right on show center. So if you're doing a loop, you go down right down show center, do your loop, and then continue on. You don't want to do, stop to hover right in the middle there, unless you're in a 3D line or any kind of maneuvers that change your direction. You want your momentum to still carry left to right or right to left, and not obscure that. That's generally where people downwind or upwind, or into the wind or with the wind is when you do your maneuvers.
And if you're, you know, just decide to go meet some new people and take your planes out to a casual flying field or club, there's probably not going to be a field marshal there, or at least not like a full-time on-duty field marshal. So just watching for the right-hand oval or left-hand oval and just fly with all the other planes, that's a good rule to
go with the flow.
Go with the flow.
Yeah.
What else? What else are some things to keep
in mind?
Range
checking. Range checking is really important. You don't want to have equipment that you're questionable about. And I'm going to pick on Spectrum just a little bit. There's a lot of DSM-2 knockoffs out there in the market. They work good, but when you're in a crowded environment, it's best to go with DSM-X or some frequency hopping technology. DSM-2 is fine for backyards. You know, getting those cheap receivers for $10 to $12 is awesome. But when you're flying with 100+ people, you got to be careful. Yeah. You know, and experience in lockouts. I don't care how reliable they say we're experiencing that all the time, that they're not that reliable. So if you're flying Spectrum technology, I don't really get lockouts from anyone else. Just that old DSM-2 receivers, I don't care for them. We use them a lot just because we're out flying and, you know, 3 or 4 people. But you get an environment with 100 pilots, it's not reliable, it's not safe, because that locks up two channels. So say you're on channel A and channel Z. Well, someone else could grab Z at one point, and someone else could grab A at the other point, and now you're shot down. So, you know, because that's what DSM-2 means, it grabs two frequencies. So that's not safe. Always range check. Make sure that you're, you know, your proper range check, no matter what kind of receiver you have. Make sure your battery voltage is where it needs to be. Do a safety check, too. Screws in the servo arms, all your linkages are tight, wiggle all your tail feathers. Give it a check your crap inspection, you know, just where you're pulling on everything, control surfaces, rips and tears, angles, and power system. All that needs to be done. That used to have fly-ins, you used to have a field marshal, and he would literally walk around your plane and look at it. And if you didn't have fuel tubing over your control horn on the gas planes, you'd have to cut some fuel tubing and put it over there. So every plane got a safety check, and then there's a little sticker on your wingtip showing that plane was safety checked. That's kind of gone in the past now because a lot of planes are ARFs and FOMIs. But
I never knew that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's kind of fun when you got to pass. I never passed my inspection first time, by the way. So my telemaster had like 15 things one time. I went to a big plane flying, and I had to fix all 15 things. And they were gracious and helped me. But, I was missing servo screws. I was missing the fuel tubing over the connecting horns and stuff. So that's simple stuff that keeps things safe.
Also, this might be kind of obvious to somebody that's been flying for a while, but also don't assume that a pilot wants to talk while flying. Because for some people, that is pretty challenging, especially for me. Like, I don't think I could carry on a conversation while flying. I would just be like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's I'm going to keep that in mind. I'm gonna question you.
No.
We should. That should be a fun game.
So whenever I come and stick a camera in your face, and I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah, exactly right. talking to somebody, and that's a good just common sense thing. If you see somebody out flying or whatever, just maybe don't, you know, wait till they're landed to chit-chat. They might be polite, but also might rather you not talk to them.
And we're really focusing heavy on, like, obviously flying events. These are the things that obviously are etiquette. When you're flying with your buddies, a lot of this stuff is thrown out the door because you're interacting with them, you're chatting back and forth. So there's two different worlds, but that, because you come from one world and you walk into the other, it seems intimidating. So this is kind of a little bit stuffy sounding, but it is definitely safe and with a purpose.
Yeah, and when you're with your buddies, you know, obviously you've spent time with them, you've flown with them before.
Yeah.
So everybody knows each other's limits. You know, everybody knows, you know, that, you know, you're doing, you know, your normal thing is not going to offend anybody. But this is, you know, for going to a flying field where you don't know anybody, going to an event for your first time, you know, these are some good things to keep in mind.
And yeah. It's a good idea if you're going to an event, too. There's a wonderful thing called Google Maps. Google map it. Look at the view from the top down, because that top down view is going to give you an idea of what's where. And sometimes you go to an event and you're not aware of, you know, these, you see these trees and they don't seem like they're, you know, they seem really far away and they're not. You know, and it's just because it's a really big tree far away, or a really small tree up close. So it's always good to kind of study your terrain. Matter of fact, I think Joe Smith used to do that before he'd fly demos, and he would actually practice and rope off. I think it was with Seth I heard about this, and he put on an amazing demo where he was using the terrain to his advantage, and it was incredible. But it's a good idea to get an idea of the layout of the land before you go, and Google Maps is really helpful for that.
And this part, you know, this main topic is definitely not to make it seem like there's a lot to go
into. I feel like
to.
We're making it intimidating. Yeah, now. Exactly. I want to dial this right. back a little bit.
Yeah, I definitely don't want people to be intimidated. Like, oh, there's a lot to keep in mind. Maybe I won't do it. That's definitely not the case. Yeah. You know, it's very easy and usually laid back to go to a flying field.
And frankly, if it's not, then it's the wrong flying field. Joe Nall, they had their field marshals. They were fantastic. Matter of fact, you asked, you know, hey, can I do some air-to-air with a multi-rotor and stuff? And the guy was fine with it.
Yeah, well, there was some guy, I don't know, he was flying like a built-up red plane. He was yelling at me, saying that I wasn't able to fly FPV. And he's like, land. He was like, yelling at me to land. He was just a pilot, I think.
He wasn't flying at the time either.
No, he wasn't even in the air. He was just giving me a hard time. And I was like, I'm landing. So I landed and went and asked the field marshal. By this time, that guy was gone. And I was like, am I allowed to do this? And he's like, yeah, of course. Why not?
Also, if you're the event pro or flying field pro that's listening to this and yawning a little bit, keep in mind, being, friendly and accommodating to new people, visiting your field, that they may not know all this stuff, and maybe even taking somebody aside and be like, hey, don't know if you know what's up with this field or what the general rules are, but here's some quirks about this field, what people do and don't like, and somebody will really appreciate that, you kind of taking them aside, giving them the heads up about the specifics of your field and that sort of thing.
And please bring a plane. If there's a fly-in in the area and you're just like, I'll just check it out, just put a plane in your trunk and have it with you. And that way, if the bug bites and you're like, this is really great, I wish I had a plane, you don't have to wait till next year. Bring a plane with you. You don't have to take it out, but at least it's there when you want, because frankly, it's more fun when more people are flying. And I want to see that more often, and it also makes the event even better. So you guys have an opportunity to make the event more than what it currently is. With that, let's talk about one thing with crashes real quick. It just made me think about, with events, obviously, there's crashes. When you go out and recover, and I think we said in the videos, when you go out and recover your crash plane, if and when you crash, don't just grab the biggest chunk and then run back. Take a look at your plane. And obviously, it's kind of better, actually, if you run out to recover a crash with you and a buddy, two sets of eyes and stuff, because you can gather the pieces quickly. But grab the pieces and look for the small pieces that broke off, especially in the trajectory where your plane hit. There's going to be pieces thrown forward. Mm-hmm. And that little tiny piece of foam or that little piece of airplane that's plastic that got knocked off or something, if you have to go out there and search for it, it's going to be a lot more time to do that again later on. Plus, you won't probably get the accurate location. So always try to get as many pieces of your plane and kind of make sure you can kind of mentally reconstruct it. That way, when you go back, you're not grounded. You can fix it quickly and get back up in the air.
Cool. That's a good tip.
All right. So that's all about flying etiquette.
Yeah. I feel like we covered that pretty good.
Yeah.
You guys said everything I was going to mention.
I wouldn't be quiet.
So now you have no excuse to not be flying.
Yeah.
Other than Flight Fest, have you ever been to a flying event?
Right? No, never. No.
Yeah, you went
to... That was
to,
my first one.
Oh, yeah. Dave Knopp went to Seth and Joe Nall.
Yeah.
So that was your first
it
one, too.
It was amazing.
It was awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. So now you are going to be 100% comfortable flying.
Oh, totally.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to going to Enol.
Yeah, Brian, you're coming, right?
I think so, yeah. When is that?
September 24th to the 28th.
Yeah, and by the way, you're coming.
Okay. Deal.
No more indecision.
Yeah. We'll
Who's
be going,
all going to that?
So far, Brian, myself, are you coming?
I'm going to try.
You're going to try. So I believe Peter. And possibly my family. Not too sure yet on that.
Austin's not invited.
No, Austin's staying home. Mm-hmm. He's not allowed to come. Austin, do you want to come this time?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So, yeah, whatever. No, actually, we'll bump Austin if I can get Josh Scott. Josh Scott may be free.
Fair enough.
Mr. Monroe is also free. So love to get as much of the crew as possible. We're going to have a party bus. So need a lot of bunk beds in the RV.
Yeah.
Well, I think we covered flying etiquette pretty well. If you have something to contribute to the conversation or feel like we missed something, feel free to go to flighttest.com/podcasts. That lists all of our podcasts. This podcast is number 39. And something else I'll link into the show notes there is I posted an article, I don't know, it was about a week ago now. The article is titled, Three Ways You Can Help the Flight Test Podcast. And basically it was just... three things. The first thing you can do is subscribe. The second thing you can do is leave us a rating and review in iTunes. And the third, I just gave a little tutorial on how to listen to the podcast on the go. And I have to say that the response to that article was awesome. For a whole week, we were number one in the aviation section.
That's huge.
Of iTunes. And we recently dropped to number two. Which I'm
still
guessing...
really, really grateful for.
Yeah, still, still amazing.
Yeah.
And we went as high as 9th overall in the games and hobbies section, which is up against thousands of podcasts.
Wow.
You know, gaming podcasts and, you know, any game and hobby related thing you can think of. And I think now we're sitting like 50th or something in games and hobbies.
Still,
so
we don't take that for granted. That's huge.
Yeah, that was
amazing.
That was really awesome. I just want to thank you guys so much for responding to that article. You really put us on the map with your reviews and subscribing to the podcast. So just like we hear it with our videos, I hope to hear someday. And I, you know, that somebody say that they would have not have had the opportunity to be in the hobby unless they found the podcast.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people say that about our videos, but I think that'll be cool. Now that we're up in the rankings, and if somebody's just casually flipping through the games and hobbies section or the aviation section, they have a really good chance of discovering the podcast.
Yeah. So. And a big thanks to Chris Roncaglione, too, and his team. Mm-hmm. We were doing this every other week, and Chris came along and started doing it, obviously mirroring up against us, so we have every week representation. And Chris, thank you. He works a crazy amount of hours.
And Wayne, too.
And Wayne, and all the other people. I know Adam's come in. He has a lot of different rotational, but his information as far as how he reviews planes and stuff is wonderful.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I tune into Chris's every other week. I really enjoy listening to it.
He's doing a great job. So
And who knows, maybe in the future, you know, as the podcast becomes more popular, maybe we'll need to do twice a week. Maybe
that could be cool.
Maybe Chris will have to come in once a week and we'll come in once a week.
You know, originally when you talked about doing podcasts, I thought there's no way we're going to have enough things to talk about. And the biggest problem we have is keeping it to a certain time limit. It's hysterical because of that. So
exactly.
What a great problem to have.
I feel like we had one more thing to talk about before we got into voicemails.
Well, we're going to the community thing. Is that it?
Or
is that around the voicemails?
Please do. You're welcome to talk about Do it.
Well, yeah, we had a really great opportunity. We talk a little bit, you know, obviously we've talked in the past about the flying ministry that I did many years ago and we're still doing. But also we've been working a lot with schools. I know Alex has come and helped me with schools. We've been doing that regularly. Well, we had a great opportunity given to us by the City of Alliance, Ohio, to fly in their Carnation Days. And they were going to have a balloon lift off. They had a big area roped off. And we got to go down and fly and interact with people who have never been exposed to the hobby. But the main message behind that is not the fact that we got to fly for people, but we spent the past couple of weeks or past couple of months kind of defending the hobby, saying, oh, it's a wonderful hobby, it's great, everyone should be doing it, rather than showing people. And, and this is one thing, I think we're going to do some content, video content on it, but the best way to overcome the naysayers about RC aviation and also FPV is to demonstrate it for them and show them, not vocally, but show them physically, all the cool things you can do. And Alex, you did amazing interacting. I mean, even the head of the lady from the Carnation Board is like, how in the world can you take that, she called it a drone, and interact with people in such a creative way? And it truly was inspiring. So guys, if you have the passion to share the hobby with people, don't hesitate to engage the community. Talk to people when you know something's coming up. If you get in early enough, they'll rope off areas. They'll bend over backwards to really help you out to make it a good experience.
Even Brendan Shulman, the lawyer that we had on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, he mentioned how on the 4th of July in his small town that he lives in, he contacted the city. They have the fireworks, you know, downtown every year. He contacted the city and he put on a little like night flying demonstration just. Put some night flyers up while the sun's going down, that time where everybody's sitting around waiting for the fireworks for 2 hours.
Yeah.
There's nothing to do. He got permission, and it was a great time. He had an audience of like 300-400 people, and everybody really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's a great way to entertain them and also interact with them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Just got to make sure that you go about it in a safe way. We had a big roped-off area there, and he was flying over like tennis courts or something safe.
They had everything roped off because of the fireworks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And they had an area roped off for the hot air balloons,
yeah.
Which I don't think very many of them flew because it was pretty windy.
Yeah,
it was windy. And I think they're really appreciative of that because I think we had like 13-mile-an-hour winds. The one thing we did ground is we grounded the live where you're going to have a buddy cord and a Bixler flying and giving lessons that way. But we grounded that because it's so windy and the area wasn't that big. We had a flight simulator.
Yeah, we had a flight simulator instead, and then also a large monitor for FPV so people could watch the FPV flight footage going on.
That took a lot of the scariness out of drones, you know, with that, when people could see, oh, look, and you're flying up and kind of giving a cool demonstration of all the benefits. I know you were looking at light poles at one point, and you know, it was really a cool way for people to see that, yeah, depth of field isn't all that, you know, big of a deal and stuff. It was
you see the wide angle, you see what it actually looks like, you see what transmitted video looks like over the, you know, video transmission.
You hear the noises, you know, it really is a good way to show people what's good about the hobby. We came down, we didn't bring any high dollar plans. We brought all our swappables, you know, to show people, yeah, you can build this. And first words out of their mouth is, all that hobby's too expensive for me. And that gives you the perfect starting place to engage them and say, well, that whole airframe cost about $10.
Yeah. You know? There was a lot of people, too, who were coming up and talking to me about multi-rotors who would basically think about it in a way that they can relate to. So, like, there was the news reporter guy. He's like, I should get my boss to get one of these so I can cover footage. I'm like, well, it seems like a good idea. He's basically, and then there was a realtor who was the same, like, I could use that at my job. And I'm like, yeah, there's a lot of great uses that we could use for these, and kind of opening the eyes of the public a little bit, which is cool.
Yeah, it gives you something to talk about, but it's based on reality, not perception.
Yeah.
So yeah, fun time.
Sounds like it was a cool, positive, safe experience for everyone, and it was probably cool enough that probably a lot of people talked about that and told other people about it. And that sort of thing. So
I know we already have a big open door for next year, and they're going to even look to give us more land. So.
We also had Flappy Dudes there, which helped a lot.
Oh, the Flappy Dudes! Did you see all the people running up? We didn't tell them to hug the Flappy Dudes.
It's just a natural instinct to hug the Flappy Dudes.
Well, typically Flappy Dudes are normally out of reach. They're just out of reach. You can't touch them. They're on a rooftop or something.
Yeah.
You just want to hug them.
You want to get close, but you're unable. It's like a bubble.
We brought the Flappy Dudes to them. And it was at one point I looked over and there was like six kids and they were all just taking turns hugging the Flappy Dude. It was the funniest thing. It's like this little girl was done and then this little boy group moved in and hugged the Flappy Dude. And yeah, it was touching.
Here at Flight Test, we bring Flappy Dudes to the people.
Yes.
Pretty for the people.
We'll have a spinoff called Flappy Dude Test. This one doesn't hug very well, you know.
Well, speaking of inspiring communities, I do have a related voicemail to play here. So
cool.
Let me, Alex, am I on?
Oh, voicemail.
Voicemail's
here.
Here we go.
Hi, guys. Lee here from Tucson. Hey, you had talked about starting a Flight Test for Schools program, and I'm very interested in pitching that in the Tucson area. How's that coming, and when can we expect it available? Thanks.
Well, believe it or not, I listened to that podcast earlier today.
Yeah.
And decided.
Voicemail.
Podcast. Oh, yeah. Voicemail earlier today.
A very short podcast.
Yeah. Just the shortest of all time. And I decided to actually do something about it.
Nice.
In the Flight Test Forum. So, people that are already in the Flight Test Forum, or if you want to check it out, I created a new section of the forum called Flight Test for Groups. And it's a place for schools, after schools, camps, blah, blah, et cetera.
Yeah.
Just any place so there's a community gathering that, you know, you want to get, you know, a large group of kids involved in the hobby or something like that. I just created an idea discussion thread. So basically just kind of pitched, you know, what we would like to do with it.
Yeah.
I know we've discussed, you know, maybe in the future, near future, making a video so that like an instructor can watch and help kind of give them a path.
Kind of like a train the trainer thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And also just kind of made a new section of the forum. So that way it can kind of function as a mastermind group where people can get together. Because there's lots of questions, and some of the ones I wrote down was things like, where's the best place to get a bulk deal on electronics? What is the best curriculum or process to follow? How do I go about partial or full funding from schools, parents, communities, etc.? What age groups thrive best in these kinds of programs, that sort of thing.
Nice.
So people, I know that there's already people out there that have a ton of experience with doing this, and I can think of a few off the top of my head. And so I think it would be great to kind of start a little mastermind. That'll help us make a better video.
Yeah.
And also make a better, I think eventually we'd like to make a package for our store. Yeah, you know, that comes with like 10 FT flyers or something like that.
Yeah, it'll help us meet your needs because we sometimes create educational content that doesn't necessarily mean we're experienced educators.
Yeah. Or does it make it repeatable in a larger scale? So
yeah.
Also in this, I can see I've gotten a lot of emails personally, and I think through some of the forums asking how we did. I always talk about the flying ministry. That all three of these things, schools, camps, and the flying ministry, all tie into outreach.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Community building, outreach, educational content. So we'll lump them all together, and I think with the people who have done it, contributing their wisdom,
yeah.
and the people's questions, it'll give us a really good foundation to build off
yeah,
of.
Basically, we need your guys' help. You guys who are out there who are experienced, your teachers, your yeah. trainers, you guys, you know how to teach, you know, groups, something that we're not necessarily very, very keen on or very experienced at.
Yeah.
So
if you have an idea or something to contribute, you know, please head over to the forums. Again,
that'll be linked in the show notes.
That'll be linked in the show notes, awesome. Or if you just want to go straight to the forums, it's underneath the flight deck. It's just called Flight Test for Groups.
Yeah, and if you're new to the forums, keep in mind that the forums have a separate login than our store and our website.
Trying to fix that, aren't we?
Yeah, we're trying to fix that. It's a problem we've been dealing with. We know it's inconvenient, but if you have a username on flighttest.com, you're going to need to sign up for a different one for the forum. And I'll give you a hint. The answer to the security question is Josh.
Bum bum bum. So essentially, is what the ultimate goal is for this area of the forum is this is just a working title, but I'd like to put together a free PDF for people called like Flight Test for Groups Crash Course.
Like that.
Get it? Crash.
Yeah. and over time, this will definitely take on flesh and meat within internally for Flight Test. We'll know exactly what we need to build and construct to meet the needs.
Yeah,
contribute your knowledge and contribute your questions.
I guess the answer to the voicemail is go contribute your opinion.
Yes.
but thank you for bringing that back
up. Yeah.
And the next voicemail is the one that actually spurred our main discussion for today, but I'll play it anyway.
Hello, Josh and everybody from Flight Test. This is Andy from the other side of Ohio. Got a couple questions for you about Flight Fest. I have never been to a flying event before as a pilot. I'm kind of curious. You know, I don't know any of the procedures or the roles that we have to play as pilots and, you know, how to make the event run smoothly so that we have a good time and that everybody stays safe. I was wondering if there's any way you can just kind of hit some of the highlights as to what somebody that has never been at a flying event before as a pilot needs to know before they get there so that everybody can have a great time. Appreciate your help. Love the show. Have a good night.
So there you go, Andy. We gave you like a half-hour long voicemail response.
You know, and the one thing I totally neglected to say, in case anyone knows, if you go to a flying event in the U.S., you need to have an AMA card.
So oh, yeah, that's true.
We should probably put a link in the show notes, too. So,
yeah, sure.
And frankly, if you're under 18, it's free. And the insurance is good. We had a great experience in the past with experiencing that. It's worth it to get that coverage and also support AMA.
Unique thing about Flight Fest was there were a surprise, or I guess not really surprising, but there was a large number of people from out of the country.
Yeah.
And considering the AMA is the Academy
or Model Aeronautics, yeah.
In America.
Yeah.
It's
not American Model Aeronautics.
I was thinking it was.
It sounds,
but it's only for America.
It does sound plausible, though, that it could be called that.
Yeah. What I was saying is we had a challenge figuring out, you know, how to go about, letting people from out of the country fly. So AMA, if you're listening, it would be great if you could
An online registration.
Online registration would be great, too. Yeah, yeah. But also maybe just like a temporary coverage for a small fee or whatever it takes to cover, you know, our international friends.
Yeah, because to pay, you know, and the smallest package I think was like $30-some-odd, biggest mm-hmm. one is 64 or 58. To do that for just one flying event's quite a bit of cost. You know, it'd be nice to insure them just for a weekend or a 1 week's time, mm-hmm. you know, for, you know, a sixth of that or something.
Definitely.
And you'll get a lot more people. But also, I think you have to register through paper for international friends, and that's kind of antiquated, you know, considering our technology we have today.
Definitely.
So, yeah.
Also, a minor note on the voicemails. If you go to speakpipe.com/flighttest, you can leave us a voicemail. I couldn't figure out why we weren't getting any more voicemails. We have about 10 to get through today, but no more were coming in. I was having trouble figuring it out, and I realized it's because on our account for SpeakPipe, we had reached the 200-minute maximum.
Oh, wow.
of voicemail storage. So I had 200 minutes of voicemail stored which I think is really cool.
Yeah, is cool. Yeah.
So I went through and deleted them all. And we're now fresh at 200. So you can leave us, as long as it's shorter than 200 minutes, you can leave us a voicemail.
Yeah. The better chances are is if it's clear, concise, you tell us who you are, where you're from, and then right into the question.
You took the words out of my mouth. Yeah. Usually we're looking for voicemails like under a minute. And if you there's an option on SpeakPipe to actually play back your voicemail so you can hear it. And if you can't hear it playing it at half volume, odds are I can't use it because I have to boost the volume so high that it distorts your voicemail. So if your voicemail doesn't get played on the show, it's likely not because I don't like you. It's just because...
we like everybody.
It's just because the volume wasn't ideal for the show. So watch that. And also, yeah, we try to keep them around 30 seconds. Under a minute is a good rule to follow. So.
Cool. On to another voicemail.
Done.
Hey, Flight Test. This is Joshua from Seattle, Washington. And I just wanted to say that your guys' Electro Hub kit is amazing. I ordered two of them about a week ago and jammed together a tricopter. And it's been awesome. I've crashed a couple of times and noticed that the durability difference between this and, say, even like the Batbone, which I've owned before, is just it's a lot more durable because the booms and the zip ties are what's taking the blunt force of the trauma, so to speak. But yeah, I'm gonna try to crash less and fly more. And I just want to say thank you guys for putting out an awesome product. I really appreciate it, and appreciate the show and everything else. Anyway, have a good one. Bye.
Oh, man, thank you for that, Josh.
And we did not pay him to say that.
No, we did not. but and hats off. We sat on the Electra Hub for a long time because mm-hmm. we wanted that to all kind of combine into a common theme, which was durable, repeatable, and it warms our hearts for you to confirm that.
Yeah, and cheap.
And cheap, yeah. We dropped $20 off the price of what they used to be, mm-hmm. and that was fun.
Yeah, and I'd be interested to know how he managed the tilt mechanism on his tricopter, yeah. because we're still working on our prototype.
The Tough Tilt is currently out and getting ready to have the mold made for it.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So we have a tricopter kit coming, and it sounded like he must have made his own or maybe used the old one.
Maybe he used the 13370, maybe.
Yeah. But basically with the new Electro Hub, the simple Delrin landing gear, it's basically just a thick piece of Delrin zip tied onto the boom.
Yeah.
It's simple, but it works really, really well.
Takes a hit.
You break zip ties, but that's about it.
Yeah, and we're going to do more and more. We've learned a lot about PCB board, and also Tony from Immersion RC, he has great resources in helping us because we don't have the wisdom to be able to do that. He's offering his help and his resources to help us. You know, he says, come up with whatever you want to design. We'll help you get the tracers on and do it effectively, cheaply, quickly. And that's huge because we mm-hmm. don't have that. And so you guys can look for a lot more because I love the hubs because they're so much more durable.
Yeah.
And we can offer mm-hmm. them so much cheaper, and they're not wood. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not going to crash under pressure and stuff like that. So thank you again for your comments. And that's actually been our number one. The Electro Hub was our highest seller this year so far. So really? Thank you guys for your support. That's what keeps our doors open and what makes payroll. So mm-hmm. thank you for that.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the voicemail. That's awesome. This voicemail is from last week, and then it'll become apparent here in just a second.
This is Richard Haynes from the UK. I was just wondering if we could have a review of the Park Zone Sukhoi 29mm. If we could, that would be great. I love the show, and I like the podcast very much. Thanks.
Yes.
It's like we can see into the future.
Yes.
actually, Monday of this week, we released a review.
Yeah, mm-hmm. What today is?
We actually did that just for you.
Just for you, man.
Yep. We heard it, and we did it.
This is Friday, August 15th, and we released that Monday, August 10th.
Yep.
So
got it.
You can check that out on YouTube.
And it's kind of exciting. This is a different format than we normally do. We actually played Pass the Transmitter live with Peter, Eric Monroe, and myself. And,
and Josh Scott.
And Josh Scott, yeah, he came in at the very
He showed
very
up a little later.
He did. That was creative editing. You guys did great on that, by the way.
Yeah, thanks.
We were hoping to get him. He wasn't available for the main shoot time, so we were able to get him in afterwards. And that was, you guys did a great job mm-hmm. putting it in. But our goal is to have future content similar to that of the Monster FT Flyer. And if you guys, can you put that in the show notes for me?
Yeah.
Okay. Our goal is to do more content with the community. So reviews, we wanted to kind of explore how we were going to do reviews in the future and with the community feel. This will kind of be it, where we play Pass the Transmitter, get mm-hmm. multiple opinions, because in case anyone doesn't know, I love everything.
we're also, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but I'm going to say it anyways. We're looking into possibly doing some traveling this winter.
We will be doing it.
Instead of doing all indoor content like last winter, which is good, and we'll still have that too.
There'll be some of it.
But yeah, maybe we'll be coming, you know, to a city near you.
Well, if you live in a warm city.
Yeah.
This is honestly, yeah, warm, a southern city, not northern. This is honestly, Alice, I'm happy you brought this up. I think we need to be really blunt because this really kicked into high gear after Flight Fest.
Yes.
There's perception and there's reality.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is you guys are more amazing than we ever dreamed, and we knew you guys were amazing in the beginning. And we want to do more content with you, not for you, if that makes sense.
Yeah, listening to you guys and making a video, you know, that we hope that you guys would want to watch, and then hearing your feedback is one thing. But actually doing that experience with you, being with you, having you guys help out, having you guys in the episode, like the Giant FT Flyer episode, it was incredible.
So
it was like really, really fun.
Yeah.
So, so cool. In the very near future, what our goal is we're going to hopefully, this is goal to probably kick off around November. Our goal is to do probably 3 trips through the winter down south, and we'll get an RV. We'll load it up with rotating people, and we'll actually coordinate ahead of time. And this will all be announced through video, but coordinate ahead of time. Where we're going to be stopping based on people we've contacted ahead of time. So there'll be like a forum. I was talking to Flying Monkey. Yeah. He's going to help out immensely with this. But we'll actually have forums generated where people will say, okay, we're in this area.
A travel calendar.
A travel calendar. You got
and,
it.
And obviously we'll be mentioning it in episodes too.
Yep.
We're going to try to get the word out there and give everybody a little bit of notice in advance.
There'll be at least for the very first one, at least a month's notice, which means it'll be kicked off sometime in October. We're doing all the logistics and reality checks now. But our goal at the end of the day is to get to fellowship with you, not through forums, but in person, just like Flight Fest. But you guys are gracious enough to come to us. We want to come to you.
Our goal is also to have an events page where you can just go to, like, for an example, flighttest.com/events. And be able to see all that stuff. But that doesn't work right now. But maybe it will.
But maybe it will soon.
That's just an idea Austin just came up with.
Yeah.
It's a link coming to you soon.
I wish there was a proper way to express what Flight Fest did for us and what we plan on doing because of the future, because of the success you guys brought to it.
Yeah, it was definitely a great moment of clarity for such an awesome thing.
That's a good way to say it.
Yeah. Okay, next question.
Hey, Flight Test. This is Sam from Michigan.
Whoa!
I just want to give you a little background on me real quickly, just keep it short. I used to be in RC a lot when I was a lot younger, and I actually ended up getting a plane. I was into the trucks and boats and everything. I ended up getting a plane, and unfortunately, it flew away and first time I tried to fly it. So I took about a 10-year break, and then I found you guys on YouTube, and it's just gotten me back into the hobby. So I want to thank you guys for that. And I'm into the quads, the quadcopters. I started with the Hubson X4, and after that, I got into the I have a Ares Ethos QX130. Which is I've been having a lot of fun with. I got a Blade Nano QX coming in the mail tomorrow, and I actually just recently assembled my frame for the Knuckle H quad from you guys. So I wanted to be sure to buy something from you guys to give you some support. But the main reason I am leaving this message for you guys is because I want you guys to know I've been having a lot of really difficult things happen in my life lately. And I'm one of those guys where I will just dwell on something and think about it over and over again. And I just need a break every once in a while. And you guys listening to the podcast, watching your videos, watching how carefree and everything you guys are, how passionate, how much fun you guys have. I really feel like whenever I'm listening to your podcast or watching your videos, it gives me a mental break, and that's just so huge. I really need that. So just letting you guys know, you guys are helping people out in a lot more ways than you think you are. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you for what you guys do. You guys are doing amazing, and I look forward to seeing what else you guys are going to come up with. So good luck in the future, and thanks again.
Wow.
Okay, now this is the tearjerker moment. Yeah. No one wants to go first because that was touching.
Wow. Yeah, that was a great voicemail, yeah. Sam.
Thanks. Sam, from the bottom of our heart, I want to thank you for being part of the family. And also, our passion for planes, I think I can say safely a second, our passion for people is first. The planes are the avenue or the vehicle to connect with people. So for you to share your heart that way, and it's hard for guys to share their heart in such an articulate way, it means a lot, affects us. That is our goal, is to you know, bring positive relationships, but also make life a little bit better. And for you to share, thank you for your support, but most of all, thank you for sharing your heart.
Yeah,
thank
definitely. You.
Thanks, Sam.
And sorry I sneezed on your your voicemail. That was really rude of me.
That was a powerful sneeze, man.
I tried to hold it back.
Sorry for any earbuds or car speakers that we blew out.
Send the bill to Alex Savada. 605. Oh.
All right, next voicemail.
Hey, Flight Test. This is Max from California. I was just wondering if you'd ever planned on releasing reviews of the RC Powers jets, since I really like their planes in addition to yours. Thanks. Try to do that. All right, bye.
Never really thought about it.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
One thing I want to do before we'd ever probably go to RC Powers Designs is, after Flight Fest, we saw a lot of amazing community designs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would rather right now do build videos and reviews of the community's projects than RC Powers.
Yeah.
Nothing against RC Powers. I'm just frankly really blown away with the talent that's right here within our own community.
Yeah.
But any RC Powers fans doing it and they want, if we get enough requests, we'll absolutely do it. Have no problem with that.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely at Flight Fest. It was really awesome. There was, I don't know, maybe 100 custom designs there.
Oh,
at least.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. The one gentleman's SC5.
Yeah.
I think it looked better than a lot of balsa planes I've seen.
And it flew amazing.
Yeah.
The material is amazing to see what people do with it. So I want to start seeing more community designs in the works, and I think we'll see that in the near future.
Yeah, designing and building your own plane used to be something that was a little bit out of reach. And now, with thanks to Google SketchUp and just different technologies that we have.
Adam's foam board.
Yeah, Adam's foam board. It's really getting a lot more accessible.
Absolutely.
So, okay, next question.
Hey guys, it's Mitch from Reading, PA. And I was requesting that you guys do a review on the Turnigy 9X Pro. I know you did the 9X in one of your show episodes. I was just wondering if you could cover maybe the differences and the pros and cons and whether it's worth the additional money. Also, I know that at one point you had mentioned that your show style was influenced by Top Gear. And one of my suggestions was maybe to use the Top Gear style rank board that they have for all their cars and stuff for some of the products that you review. You know, maybe make categories like beginner transmitters or intermediate transmitters or planes and stuff. And then on somewhere on your website, you could have a board where it's ranked, and maybe, you know, look at the different features and the cost and the features, and maybe, you know, what you would recommend and where on the board you would put it. You know, maybe like the Turnigy 9X Pro versus a Spectrum product and stuff like that. Right now, searching through your reviews and everything, it's kind of difficult to find maybe all your comments on different transmitters. It's spread out through all the episodes. So maybe, you know, a board with links to where which videos have those reviews and stuff would be a good idea. Keep doing what you're doing, and it's very inspirational and informative for a new person like me that's looking to get into the hobby. Thanks.
Thank you, Mitchell, for your. That's a really good question. I do love Top Gear, and one thing I was thinking, we were looking at some of the feedback people give. We're blessed with 195,000 subscribers right now.
Yeah.
I think one of the coolest things we can do with a new website would be to, because we can't review every new board, but like the Trannis that's come out, we haven't done a review on that, but there's people so thoroughly knowledgeable. When we oftentimes do review, it's first opinions.
Yeah.
And you can't dig deep into a transmitter with a first opinion.
I hear with like the Trannis, for example, it is something that you really have to dig deep in. It's a pretty in-depth product.
It's like the Linux of transmitters, from what I understand.
Yeah.
It has endless possibilities, but it's not the most user-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
But for people that can help people break the language and learn how to do it in the flow.
Once you get it, I hear that it just makes sense, and it's awesome.
Everyone has them, yeah. So what I'd like to do is maybe have, instead of us saying this is better than this, where frankly we won't be that informed, have it be something where maybe the community can rank. We can list the transmitters and have mm-hmm. people be able to post their pros and cons about each transmitter. And that way, you know, have like just defined categories. beginner, intermediate usage functionality, and then have people be able to rank it themselves so they have a dynamic range. That was a suggestion. I feel bad that I don't know who suggested it, but I was like, wow, that would be brilliant. We can do that. And if that works with transmitters, we can do it with a lot of other things, because when you go to our website, you see some motors we recommend that sadly aren't available anymore. This would be a good way to cure a lot of problems in the near future. But I do know Peter. I got Peter Streeple. He's working on a new FPV box with a new controller. I got a 9XR Pro, or the new 9X, for him, he asked. And it'll probably be promptly cut up into pieces and put into a box. So I don't think we'll be able to do a review on it, but I think it would also be better served to have the community give their opinion on it, mm-hmm. because they have a lot more involvement. Transmitters, you just can't give first opinions on.
And also, with all the different manufacturers you have that are making transmitters and doing updates to transmitters, there's really not an easy way for us to keep up on top of all those. I mean, sometimes we do an occasional transmitter review, but I mean, also, a lot of people that are looking for transmitter information are looking to buy their first transmitter.
Yeah.
And doing, you know, a transmitter, a review on a more advanced transmitter is something totally different than answering the question, what's one of the early transmitters that we can buy?
Well, using the term S-bus to a beginner looking for the first transmitter is totally irrelevant. Yeah. So those kind of things are better served for people that know it really well. And also find out what are the beginners having the best experience with the first transmitter is better than us telling people.
Yeah.
What would be
and if you look up the Flight Test Beginner series, we did an episode on transmitters and just kind of explained, you know, entry level to advanced and that sort of thing. So if you know the concept, you're going to be a lot better off than reading a lot of really opinionated and precise reviews on transmitters.
Yep.
Okay. I think that's actually all the questions we have for today.
Very cool.
So we're going to wrap it up, I guess, right around an hour.
We're right about an hour. Now, not Brian, I want to personally thank you. You were very talkative.
Thank you.
And your insight and knowledge was awesome.
What can I say?
No. We were honored by your presence.
Brian, Brian, I can't say enough good things about Brian. I'm going to gush over him one last moment here. This guy has been working around the clock this week. We even roped him in after hours to do yesterday's event, and you stayed around. And you were not only capturing the footage, but you were engaging people and entertaining with all your heart. So
he was also eating cheese on a stick.
Yeah, cheese on a stick made it well worth it.
Yeah, I can't give him a physical hug on the podcast, but I can give him a verbal one. Brian, we love you, man.
Thank you.
All right. And guys, thank you for your support. Thank you for rating the articles. You guys are what brought us up to number one or number two. I still think two is not too shabby at all.
Or he means rating the podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, rate the articles. I'm sorry. I said that, didn't I?
Yes, definitely. Wow. You know, subscribe in whatever your favorite platform is. Because actually, it was what spurred that, me writing that article, the three ways you can help the Flight Test podcast, was that just looking at the data, a lot of people, I do this too sometimes, so sometimes it's appropriate, but a lot of people were sitting in front of their desktop listening to the podcast. And so, you know, sitting there for an hour can be a long time. I personally enjoy podcasts when I'm commuting, mm-hmm. when I'm outside working in the lawn, that sort of thing. So having a podcast be portable is kind of the whole point of a podcast.
Yeah.
And so I wanted people to realize that, you know, if you have a smartphone or if you have an iPod or something like that, you can download a podcasting app and subscribe and always take the podcast with you.
Yeah.
So, you know, and also, you know, obviously subscriptions and reviews and that sort of thing also help us with our ranking.
It also keeps you up to date, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you're not podcast savvy, that's okay, because neither were any of us until we met Austin.
Yeah. And I really don't really know that much.
Austin
but
is the birther
it.
Of the Flight Test podcast.
If you want to put it that way, then
kind of odd. And on that note, by the way, the FT Simple Storch is coming out soon.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
25th, I believe.
Yep.
Yeah, when the episode will air.
I'm excited for that episode.
Yeah, that was so much
and
fun.
I was there.
So really, really fun episode.
Yeah, and next Monday's episode coming up in 3 days. It's going to be pretty cool, too. You just let us see the final edit of that.
Yes.
And if you haven't taken your kids to see Disney Planes 2, take them to see it this weekend.
Because there will be spoilers in our episode.
Spoilers. Lots of them.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Have a great day.
See you guys. Thanks.